ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Some of the Danites remained in the land, as did Manoah. He lived in Zorah, which is about 14 miles west of Jerusalem, and he was married, had a wife who was barren. She wasn't able to conceive a child. And we don't think a whole lot about that today, but back in those days, it was a disgrace in Israel. If you as a woman could not bear a child, that was grounds for divorce. That's not what God said, but that's what the children of Israel came up with. That's how important children were. And we don't see it here, but I would imagine that Manoah and his wife were praying for a child. I mean, this is a godly man and woman, a godly family. And then at the appointed time, we see the angel of the Lord appear to Manoah's wife. And I think this is Jesus Christ, an Old Testament appearance of him, a Christophany. And at this point, Manoah is not there with his wife. He doesn't see the angel of the Lord. But the Lord tells this barren woman that she's going to have a son, and he's going to be special. He's going to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the oppression brought on by the Philistines. Now, again, we tend to read these stories and don't think much about them. But can you imagine what's going through her mind after she hears the Lord telling her that she's not only going to have a child, but this child's going to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage that they were in by the hands of the Philistines? Not only that, but she was to take this vow of a Nazarite during her pregnancy. It meant she was not to drink any wine or similar drink. She was not to touch any dead animal or person. And again, this child was going to be special. And they would have to raise this child accordingly, with following the vow of a Nazarite. And we see the vow of a Nazarite spoken of in Numbers 6, verses 1 through 21. And the whole idea was a person was dedicating themselves to the Lord. The Hebrew word Nazarite, or Nazar, excuse me, means set apart. Setting a person apart from this world, focusing on the Lord. It's kind of like when we fast. We're getting rid of all that fleshly stuff, and we're focusing now our attention for a period of time on the Lord to hear from him. And this can last any period of time, 30 days, or like here with Samson, it's going to be his entire life. And for the most part, it was a short one. A lot of them were just 30-day fasts, but again, it was just a time to draw close to God. And three things that were important that they were to abstain from. Anything that came off the vine, not just wine, but the grapes that made the wine. Why? Well, I think God wanted their joy to be pure, not artificial in nature. He wanted them alert to his voice, and that's important. You weren't to cut your hair, but let it grow during that time. Long hair was just an outward symbol of dedication to the Lord. And you weren't to touch anything that had died, for then you would be unclean. And just the purity we're to have before the Lord, I think, is the idea. Now, here's the thing, and I find this very interesting, and not many people kind of pick up on this, but it's a detail in verse 5 of Judges 13 that we're told about Samson shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Samson is not going to destroy the enemy completely. Isn't that interesting? In Judges, when God raises up a judge, they destroy the enemy. But not here. Why? I think it's because Samson didn't walk accordingly. He did his own thing. He let the lust of his flesh get the better of him, and the work wasn't completed like it should have been. And for Samson, when you read the stories of Samson, he's like a one-man show. You know, even the Lone Ranger had Tano, right? Samson had nobody. I don't think he had friends. I don't think they liked him. We're going to see when he marries this Philistine woman, and they're at the party. None of his friends are there because he doesn't have any. So they get some Philistine men for him. Sad. And when Samson fights against the Philistines, it's not like, you know, in the honor of God, we're going to destroy this enemy. Not at all. Why did he fight against the Philistines? Because they did something that hurt his feelings, that offended him, that went against him. And he didn't take care of the Philistines like he should have. In fact, as we'll see, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. Very sad. Now, we have to remember this is a calling of God upon the life of Samson. And we'll see that as we finish up our study this morning. But keep in mind that Manoah wasn't with his wife when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, or to her, excuse me. And now she tells her husband all that the angel told her. And we're going to see a little unbelief on his part. It's kind of interesting. Look at verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be called, the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Look what's taking place here. The Lord finishes speaking with her. She tells her husband Manoah just the wonderful blessings that God has given to them. They're going to have a child, a son. And not only that, he's going to be a Nazarite unto the Lord from his conception until his death. And as Manoah hears all this, he wants to hear it for himself. He asks how he's to raise the child. There's nothing wrong with that, really. But keep in mind, the Lord already told his wife as a Nazarite. So I think there's some doubt on Manoah's part here. I think some unbelief. And Manoah prays to the Lord to show him these things to confirm what his wife has said. And the thing we have to be careful with is that unbelief can cause us to stop moving forward, to begin to doubt what God has told us. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord for clarification, but as the Lord shows you, you can't allow fear to stop you from moving forward. And yeah, make no mistake about it, fear that shuts you down, fear that causes you to stop walking where God has told you to walk, fear that causes you not to do what God has called you to do, in reality, is just unbelief. Because if God has called you, he's going to be with you. And I know it's difficult. But God will see us through. And our Lord, though, is so gracious and merciful towards Manoah, just as he is towards us. And again, for Manoah, I think he just wanted to be sure, even though we do see some unbelief on his part. And the Lord's going to show him again. And that's God's instructions again. God is just repeating what he's already told Manoah's wife. Look at verse 9. "And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man has just now appeared to me, the one who came to me the other day.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.'" Now, I don't know, maybe this is a guy thing, but to me it's kind of funny. Manoah prays, "Lord, show me about this son that you said we're going to have." And then what does he do? He's somewhere else. He's not even around anymore. I don't know if he got tired or what. But the Lord appears to his wife again, and bless her heart, she runs to get him and bring him back to meet the Lord. And I guess for us, we have to be careful as we're seeking the Lord that we don't get so busy that we can't hear him anymore. You know, Manoah's wife comes and gets him, and Manoah asks the Lord, "Hey, now let your words come to pass. What shall be the boy's rule of life and his work?" And the Lord basically tells him, and I'm paraphrasing, "Look, I already told your wife. He's to be a Nazarite. He's to be consecrated unto me." There it is. And I see some doubt here with Manoah about what his wife told him, some unbelief. But again, the Lord is so gracious, and he gets the confirmation from the Lord. Now, did God give to Manoah and his wife everything that their son would do, all that he would be involved in? Think about that. No. The Lord gave them some information, and then they were to walk by faith as they trusted in what the Lord had already told them. God honored Manoah's request for confirmation, but he didn't answer the request to know the future, all that was going to happen. No. Just obey what I've already told you. And we see this in our own lives. You know, I saw this when God spoke to my heart about being a pastor in Wisconsin, all that he told me. He only told me a portion. I mean, he didn't tell me everything. He didn't tell me how this was going to work out or even what I was to do or even that I would, all that I would encounter once he brought me to Wisconsin. Just the fact that one day he would accomplish this in my life. Well, some 10 to 12 years down the road, he opened the door for me to come to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and be pastor of this church. And he gave me a verse for this church, and I love that about the Lord. This is what he put upon my heart. The reason I was to be here, because there are lots of churches in town. I'm not saying no one teaches the Word of God, but this is what he gave me specifically from Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. And that's what the Lord gave me, and it hasn't changed. And it's truly been one step at a time for me, and I'm sure it's the same for you. Think about this. Can you imagine, for a moment, you know where you're at today? Imagine God telling you everything that was going to happen in your life. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It would be overwhelming. I mean, some of the things that have happened in our lives just blow us away. I don't want to know. When it happens, Lord help me, right? And the Lord does. He tells us, you know what? Just take a step at a time. And as much as we like to know all that's going to happen, I don't think we really want to know, because we'd be so overwhelmed. I'll give you an example how God does this, because it blows me away. Several years ago now, there was a pastor's wife on the East Coast who had a best friend. They served the Lord together, best friends. Her husband and this woman's husband were leaders in the church. And one day, her best friend stabbed her in the back. Not literally, but you know what I mean. It caused all kinds of trouble. And this woman had shared with her best friend her entire life. They worked so well together. All of a sudden, it was completely over. And this pastor's wife cried out to God about this relationship that was now gone. And she said, "Lord, why did you bring this woman into my life if you knew she was going to do this to me and cause all this trouble? Why would you do something like that?" And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Look, if I would have told you all that she would do to you, would you have allowed her into your life?" Well, let's be honest with ourselves. None of us would have, right? I'm not going to let someone who's going to stab me in the back down the road into my life now. But the Lord did, because there were lessons there. They needed each other for that time. God has a plan, and he has a purpose, and he says, just walk by faith. You have to trust in me. We see that here with Manoah and his wife. They have the instructions to take that step of faith, and then they have to walk. And it's out of God's instructions again that we see the worship of God, and I love this. Look at verse 15. "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. As the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, it happened that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. I love this. As the angel of the Lord, as the Lord speaks to Manoah, what does it cause him to do? To worship the Lord. Think about it. God speaks to us, and what should be our response to him? Worship. And I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure you feel the same way. When I'm teaching, I'm amazed at how God knew what I needed to hear. You think that I'm writing these messages for you. I'm not. This is what the Lord is showing me. I'm just sharing with you. And I'm sure you feel the same way, that there's something that God is speaking to my heart about that I need to deal with. How important that is. And it blows me away as I'm going over the study I'm sharing with you, that God meets me where I'm at. It's what I needed to hear. And we have to be careful, because sometimes people are closed to what God is saying. I'm just not hearing from God. Sometimes they blame the pastor. I just don't think the message was very good this morning. Well, here's the thing that I have. If you're sharing God's word, then who's speaking to you? God is. So we need to be listening. I shared with you before the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And for the life of me, I'm getting old, but I forgot the guy's name. Jonathan Edwards. I shouldn't have said that. You guys would have thought I remembered it. But Jonathan Edwards spoke in a monotone voice. He didn't go up or down. It was just a monotone voice. And he had bad eyesight, and so he had to hold his notes close to his face and just read them. And as he did, people were falling on their knees, repenting of their sins, asking forgiveness from God. Because it's not the speaker, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. When we come to worship God on Sunday mornings, Thursday evenings, worship is we're honoring God, we're praising Him. And it's getting our hearts and minds focused upon Him. I remember when we had children at home, and getting them ready for church on Sunday morning, it's like, there's demons in these kids, right? It's like the craziest thing. Things are out of control, And then you come to church, and you're sitting there going, oh my, you're just thinking about all these things. And then you start worshiping God. What happens, you are now in the presence of God. That's what worship does. Some people think, well, worship is just a filler till the pastor speaks. So they set their watches. We'll be in at 10:20 to catch the mass. No, worship is to worship and honor God, and to focus our hearts and minds upon Him. I think it's so important. God is speaking. We just need to listen. And here's the thing. I've heard people say this. We've studied that book before. I'm not going to go to that study again. I've heard it already. Wow, then you must be as smart as God. Because I'll tell you what, every time I go through the scriptures, God is showing me different things. Because God's word is living and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts right to the heart, guys. There is no way I know everything about God. It's kind of like Paul said, looking in a mirror dimly. I get a glimpse of him, but I'm sure that when I see him face to face, I'm going to be just blown away. But boy, as I get to know him more and more, I just want to worship him. because I know all that he has done for me, the sacrifice that he made to save me. And I believe that this is the angel of the Lord, is Jesus Christ, specifically the pre-incarnate Christ, second person of the Holy Trinity. How do I know that? Well, how does he name his, what's his name? Why do you ask me my name? Seeing it is what? Wonderful. Does that remind you of something? Yeah, it should remind us of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So here's the Lord, and Manoah is preparing an offering to him, and he burnt offering goes up, and the angel of the Lord ascended up into heaven. And Manoah and his wife are watching all this. When you read that, does it blow you away? Can you imagine, you know, here goes this offering, ascending up into heaven, and then the angel of the Lord is gone, ascends up too. Their minds must have been blown, right? They knew it was the Lord. And again, when God does something amazing like that in our lives, we sometimes come to the wrong conclusions, as Manoah did. He went from the worship of God to the fear of the Lord, and not a good fear of the Lord. That's the problem. Look at verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Then his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." Men, you should be praising God for your wife. I mean, Manoah's like, that's it. We're dead meat. We're going to die. We've seen God. It's all over. Is our will in order, honey? Because this is it. We're done. Wow. That's the conclusion he came to. You're going to have a son. He's going to deliver Israel. He's going to be a Nazarite. And now we're going to die. Gideon had that same problem. Remember in Judges 6, verses 21 through 23. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said, "In peace with you, do not fear, you shall not die." Why did the Lord tell Gideon that you shall not die? Because Gideon thought he was going to die. Oh my gosh, I saw the angel of the Lord, I'm going to die. Same here with Manoah. He felt the same way. Again, I don't know what's going on with men, but they kind of go to these extremes at times. But God said, "I'm going to do great things through you, Gideon. I'm going to do great things, Manoah, through your son. So, you know, you're not going to die." So this is not a good fear of the Lord. It caused them to cower, to tremble. That's not how our God is. God said to Manoah, "Look, you're going to have a son. He's going to, you know, deliver Israel partly from the Philistine oppression. You're not going to die." And I think for us, you know, don't come to your own conclusions about the Lord and what he's doing. Listen to what he's saying, and it reduces your anxiety. You know, God tells us something, and it's like overwhelming sometimes, and we think, well, that's it. What are we going to do? It's all over. The fear of the Lord we need to have is a reverential fear, a respectful fear of who he is. When I was growing up, I respected my father. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't agree with everything that he told me to do. I was a kid, but I respected him. And we're to respect our Heavenly Father as well. For Gideon, it was the Lord that comforted him. "Gideon, you're not going to die." Manoah, again, guys, it was his wife. And she says, "You know what, Manoah, chill out, man. What are you so worked up over? If God accepted our offering and he told us all these wonderful things, why is he going to kill us?" And again, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you get the idea. I'll be honest with you. I am so thankful for my wife. She knows what she needs to say at times when I get down and discouraged. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. And she would say something like this: "Okay, Joe, do you really think God brought you up here just to dump you off?" And, you know, it's one of those things that I don't want to hear from her at that time. But I know I needed to hear it from her because it's true. And what happens is you get refocused. You have the correct perspective of the situation. Well, of course, you know, Lord, you're in control. I need to chill out. I need to understand that.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.